In our evening service, we're looking together at John's Gospel. We've come to chapter 10, and I want to read the first 21 verses of John chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. By me, if anyone enters, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" We end our reading from God's holy word at this 21st verse. We pray that God will help us, each one, to understand what he is saying to us in this chapter. In our evening service, we're looking at portraits of Jesus from John's Gospel. And we come to the 11th this evening. Words found in John chapter 10, verse 11. Where the Lord Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd." Someone has said, perhaps with their tongue a little bit in their cheek, that sheep are strong evidence against the theory of evolution. If evolution is the survival of the fittest, the sheep wouldn't have an earthly. They're not really very well equipped. When they're faced with predators, they don't have sharp, cruel fangs. They don't have impressive claws. They don't have wicked horns that they can thrust into their enemies. Our congregation's expert on sheep tells me they just stamp their foot up and down on the ground, which isn't very frightening. They're quite fussy about what they eat, but they can eat poisonous plants like ragweed, for example, at times. If a sheep gets cast, which means falling over onto its back, quite often it isn't able to get up again. It just lies there and dies. And they do have a tendency for wandering all over the place. So there's no way in the survival of the fittest that there would be any sheep around today. And it's humiliating a little bit that the Bible compares us over and over again with sheep. It's not really complimenting us. And yet it's true. We can't protect ourselves against some of the dangers that threaten us. We eat poisons at times, mental and spiritual poison. Sometimes when trouble comes, we can't get up again, and we do have a tendency to wander about all over the place. But here in one of the best known pictures of the Bible, we have Jesus as the Good Shepherd. It's a picture that has come down in Christian consciousness. The very word pastor, which is used of ministers, means a shepherd. What can we learn about the Lord Jesus from this portrait? I am the Good Shepherd. I want to set before you this evening four things which I think this passage shows us. First of all, our need for a good shepherd. Our need for a good shepherd. We've said that sheep are vulnerable. And so they are. Especially in first century Palestine. A very dangerous country, both in its geography, with rocks and chasms and swift flowing streams, and also its wild beasts, lions, wolves, and bears. And sheep needed a shepherd. A shepherd to lead them. A shepherd to water them and feed them. A shepherd to protect them. For sheep not to have a shepherd was the ultimate catastrophe. We read in Matthew 9:36 that Jesus pitied the crowds because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He's saying that's a terrible position to be in. In Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, we read in chapter 34 of God's sheep in verse 5, they were scattered because there was no shepherd. They became food for all the wild beasts. They were scattered with none to search or seek for them. Sheep desperately, more than anything else, needed a good shepherd. Most of us in the Western world live in cities, and we rarely see real shepherds looking after real sheep. And we tend to have a sort of a sentimental, rosy-colored idea of what a shepherd is like. We perhaps think of a shepherd standing all day cuddling lovely little white lambs. Or perhaps our view is taken from the television program One Man and His Dog. The wise old shepherd just stands at the head of the hill, at the top of the field, makes little whistling noises with his mouth, and the dogs zip about all over the field and do all the work. It looks pretty easy. But in reality, to be a shepherd is tiring and tough and dirty and dangerous. It's a very hard, demanding job. And so the shepherd has to be strong and courageous, a real man, dedicated, wise, able to take charge. It was often used of the kings of Israel. They were the shepherds of their people. They directed them. They dominated them. They held them under their authority. Now, of course, those ideas are not popular today, because people are unbelievably arrogant, conceited, and full of themselves. Now, people don't like hearing about authority or direction. People have this delusion that they're able to run their own lives. We live in a culture that scoffs at any idea of needing guidance from a God, that rebels against any idea of a superior authority. They're obviously walking around with their eyes closed, deliberately closed, because you only need to look at the world to see what a mess people are making of their lives. And the fact is, we need a good shepherd. You do. I do. We need someone to guide us. By what principles are you living? What standards? What is your life for? Where are you going? What are you here on earth for? We need these things clear in our minds. We need someone to feed us. We all have needs and hungers. How are they going to be satisfied? We live in an age where people have more materially than perhaps they ever have had in history. And yet they're less satisfied, less happy, less at peace. The doctors' surgeries and the psychiatrists' offices are full of troubled, unhappy people. Marriage is collapsing. Families are being broken up. Gangs of youths are roaming the streets worse than wild animals. It's clear that people aren't happy. We need someone to protect us, to help us against the troubles of life, against other people, against ourselves. You've heard the phrase, whistling in the dark. It was used of a little boy. He was out at night and he was frightened. He thought there were horrible things lurking in the shadows. And so to keep his courage up, he whistled. And that's what our world is doing. And that's what many of the unbelievers we meet are doing. They're whistling jaunty little tunes. They're pretending that they're happy, and they've got purpose in their lives, they know where they're going. In their heart of hearts, they know it's a sham. Whistling in the dark. Are you a whistler in the dark? Your little whistling tune is becoming less and less convincing, even to yourself. We need a shepherd. You need a shepherd. But then a second thing. We have in this passage the counterfeits of the good shepherd. The counterfeits of the good shepherd. And if you look at the context, it's very interesting because there's no connecting word or transition word between chapter 9 and chapter 10. The one just goes into the other. There's no and or but or after these things or a few days later, as there normally is between one chapter and another. It goes right on. And chapter 9 was about the man born blind. How did his shepherds treat him. His shepherds were the religious leaders, the ministers of the day, the preachers, the Pharisees. How did they treat this man born blind who had been healed? We see in these men no love, no mercy, no thankfulness for what had happened to this man. They bully him. They make fun of him. They are sarcastic. And when he won't play their game, they excommunicate him. Verse 34 of chapter 9, they cast him out. So these are his so-called shepherds. But they've no interest in him. They don't care about him. All they want is to maintain their own position and their own authority. They're arrogant, egocentric men. False shepherds. And that's why Jesus in chapter 10 goes straight in. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. They're only in it for themselves, he says, for the pay and the house and the prestige. They don't care about the sheep. Look what he says in verses 12 and 13. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. They're supposed to be shepherds, but they don't guide the people. They don't love the people. They don't help the people. They're just greedy, selfish, arrogant men. False shepherds. And like the people of Jesus' time, we're surrounded by false shepherds. All sorts of people, institutions, ideas that promise us that they will guide us, that they will make us happy, that they will keep us safe. And it's a lie, isn't it? What about most of the politicians of our day? After the expenses scandal, does anybody seriously believe that the politician's first interest is the people they're elected to represent? Of course not. Hired hands. They're in it for what they can get out of it. They care nothing for the sheep. Sadly, many religious leaders are the same. They stand up and preach to people. They tell people how to live, but they've no word of hope for them. They've no word of mercy or deliverance. It's empty words. People look to materialism, to things. Yet the more things they get, the more unhappy they are. Or they look to pleasure as a shepherd. If I give myself to having a good time and enjoying myself, that's what life is about. And they find it empty. And all the philosophies of the day, call it what you like, relativism, pluralism, postmodernism, it's just completely intellectually incoherent and nonsensical. People say there is no such thing as absolute truth. And if that statement is true, it is false. If there is no thing, such thing as absolute truth, then the statement that there is no such thing as absolute truth is, of course, false. And people think they're saying something very clever and that they're being very intelligent. It's embarrassingly stupid, isn't it? Counterfeits. Counterfeits. I wonder tonight, are you following a false shepherd? Are you looking for happiness? Are you looking for meaning, purpose in your life? Are you looking for a sense of dignity and worth, significance? You're looking for it somewhere you're never going to find it. Any voice that takes you away from God is a false shepherd. But we move on. Our need for a good shepherd. Counterfeit shepherds. Thirdly, the identity of the good shepherd. The identity of the good shepherd. Who is the good shepherd? In the Old Testament, God was the shepherd of his people. When Jacob was dying in Genesis 48:15, he spoke of the God who has been my shepherd all my life long. So there it is at the beginning of the Bible. God, my shepherd, said Jacob. He's called in the Psalms, Psalm 80, verse 1, the shepherd of Israel. And God promises that he's going to send a special shepherd. If you've got time, sometime, well, you will have time, but if you've got the interest, read Ezekiel chapter 34. It's a magnificent chapter. It's about false shepherds. It's about the religious leaders of the time who were leading the people astray and destroying them and deceiving them. And God says, I'm against those shepherds. And then, verse 22, God says, I will rescue my flock. I will set over them one shepherd, my shepherd David, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. Now, when God spoke those words, David had been dead for a long time. So he's talking about another David, another figure. And when he comes, he will be the good shepherd. And now at last, he's identified in the fourth of the I Am sayings of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. Here is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David. He says, I'm the fulfillment of the prophecy. I'm the answer to the longing of the people. I've come to care for the people of God, to guide them, to feed them, to protect them. This is who I am. The shepherd. And the word the comes out twice in the Greek. The only shepherd. The unique shepherd, there is no other. I am the good shepherd. The word translated good means not only morally good, but beautiful, noble, worthy, attractive, admirable. Someone we can love and trust. Do you understand who Jesus is claiming to be? He's claiming to be your guide, your helper, the one to keep you and direct you and give meaning to your life. I am the good shepherd. Have you come to this good shepherd? Have you submitted to his authority? Have you asked him to be your shepherd? Bishop Ryle, many years ago, writes, it will profit us nothing at the last day that Jesus was the shepherd if during our lifetime we never heard his voice and followed him. I am the good shepherd. But then fourthly and lastly, I want to think for a few moments of the qualifications of the good shepherd. What are the leading marks of the good shepherd? How can we discern him? Well, quite unusually, this I am statement is made twice in the chapter, each time with an additional phrase. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In contrast to the hired hand who sees the wolf coming and runs away, the good shepherd doesn't run away. He doesn't run away. Some of you may remember that David, when he was a young boy, was a shepherd. You can read about it in 1 Samuel 17. And when he was keeping his sheep, several times lions and bears attacked his sheep. David didn't run away. He stood and fought and killed the lions and the bears. He risked his life because he loved his sheep and wanted to care for them. He risked his life. But he didn't plan to die. He didn't want to die. This shepherd is different. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, deliberately, willingly, consciously. It's a voluntary act. He lays down his life. He repeats it again and again in the chapter, verse 15. I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, I lay down my life. Verse 18, no one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. The cross was not an accident. It was not a tragedy. Jesus was not a victim. He was a willing sacrifice. I lay down my life. And friends, that is absolutely vital to understand. Jesus Christ does guide and feed and protect his people. He does all of that. But before and above and beyond that is something else. He's the one who died for us. He's the Savior from sin and death. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He has come that we may have life and have it abundantly. But that's only possible because he lays down his life for his sheep. The Christian life begins at Calvary. And if you're to belong to the Good Shepherd, here's the starting place. Trusting the one who died for sinners. He's the Good Shepherd because he alone died on behalf of his people. But there's another qualification. Verse 14. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own. And my own know me. He knows his sheep intimately. He knows our characteristics. He knows our peculiarities. He knows our circumstances. He knows our thoughts. Jesus Christ knows our past with all its hurts and all its failures. Jesus Christ knows our present with its challenges, its unrealized longings. Jesus Christ knows our future with all its responsibilities and uncertainties. He's the best of shepherds. Deep in our hearts, we all want to know and to be known. We all want intimacy. We all want a relationship that is satisfying and fulfilling. And here's the most intimate of all relationships. Deeper than that between parent and child or man and wife. The relationship with the Good Shepherd. The beautiful. The attractive. The noble. The kind and gracious Shepherd. You can trust and follow him. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The Good Shepherd knows his sheep. I know my sheep, he says. And he goes on to say in verse 16, I have other sheep. I must bring them also. And they will hear my voice. Perhaps that's why God has brought you into this building this evening. Perhaps Jesus Christ is speaking to your heart now. Well, there's no perhaps, he is. Perhaps you will listen. Perhaps this is His way of bringing you. Will you listen to the voice of Christ? Will you commit yourself to Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and follow Him? I've told the congregation before of an incident that happened long ago at a house party in England. And a group of people were there spending a weekend together. And there was a famous actor, one of the best known actors in the world. And one evening the people asked him if he would read something to them. So he decided to read the 23rd Psalm. They'd never heard it read so beautifully before. The diction was perfect. The cadence of the voice, the tone, the speed, the emotion, perfect. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He read the psalm beautifully. After he finished, there was thunderous applause. Clapping, clapping. There's an old minister sitting there. And the actor said to him, "Sir, you must also have read this psalm many times. Would you like to read it to us?" So the old man didn't want to at first. He was very shy and embarrassed. But the actor was a kindly man. He persuaded him. He said, "Please, sir, we'd like to hear you." The old man didn't need the Bible. He said it off by heart. When he finished, there was no clapping. Everybody sat very quiet. And the actor leaned forward and said to him, "Sir, I know the psalm. You know the shepherd." If you don't know the shepherd tonight, I'm very sorry for you. I'm very sorry for you. And I hope and pray with all my heart that you'll come to know. He's so wonderful. So kind. So strong. So wise. He died for us. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to be lost in the world without a shepherd. I suppose if you want, you can go home tonight whistling in the dark. But that's all you're doing. And I think you know it in your own heart of hearts. You can put up all the arguments you like. But there's a little voice inside you, inside every human being, says it's true. It's true. And it's my prayer that Jesus Himself will open your eyes and bring you to Himself, that you'll know the Good Shepherd and know life, life abundantly. Amen. Let us bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Father, sometimes we posture and boast and pretend that we can run our own lives, but we know we can't. We're not as clever as we sometimes think we are. And in our heart of hearts, we know our own guilt and lostness. And we thank you for the one who says, "I am the Good Shepherd," who loves us, who calls us to himself, in spite of all that we have done and all that we are, who's infinitely kind and gracious. We're disappointed often, Lord, in people, but we're never disappointed in the Lord Jesus. He never fails us. He never lets us down. He's always there for us. We thank you for the Good Shepherd who keeps us safe and brings us at last to God's house forevermore. We pray that you will help us each one to trust him and follow him, that we may know life abundant. For in his name we pray. Amen.